Welcome back to Drinks First. We have a friend of mine who we met, I guess, last year through one of my events, which has been awesome, meeting so many cool people, like, coming through to Drinks First. But I would love for you to introduce yourself. Can you let me know, obviously not your name, but how old you are, where you're from, where you're living now in New York City, and what you're doing?
Okay, cool. Like a little modeling casting slate minus the name. I am 27 years old, 6 feet tall, living in...
We just had to slide that in there.
Had to slide it in very early. Living in Flatiron, have been in New York for almost 2 years, coming up on my 2-year anniversary. And I am an online coach, a health architect, and a content creator.
And did you go to college? If so, where?
I went to college in Los Angeles, UCLA, go Bruins, and lived in LA for about 8 years. So like 4 years for undergrad and then 3 years post-grad. My family moved out there as well. I was originally born and raised in Kansas. Dad is Chinese, mom is Filipino. Somehow met in Kansas and decided to raise a family there, which don't regret at all. Like great suburban town, Overland Park. Wow, just revealing a lot of info.
You're giving away
even if I didn't mention it, whatever, it's fine. Leave it in
there. You might as well give your social security number at this point.
Oh, yeah. Should I?
Okay, so Kansas. You revealed you're all sorts of Asian. So, like, what was being Asian in Kansas like?
Yeah. When you said that, I was like, wait, did I reveal being Asian? I was like, oh, yeah, my mom's Filipino, my dad's Chinese. Yeah, duh. I didn't think it was any different. Like, I didn't think I was any different until like a certain point, maybe in middle school, when it like started to become a little bit more prevalent, when we're like, you know, learning about cultural backgrounds and ethnicities. And like, that was when I was like, oh, like, damn, I am not like everyone else. I guess like I'm not white.
Was there like an Asian community where you were living though? Is that like why your parents were there or not really?
I mean, I think in any place for minorities, there's always like a small community. In mm-hmm. Kansas, there wasn't like a huge, you know, either Chinese or Filipino population, but enough to know that it was different from maybe other people's communities.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And okay, so Kansas for a bit, and we'll get back into like your life in Kansas. I just want to touch on some of the other things you mentioned. Mm-hmm. UCLA, mm-hmm. What did you study there?
I studied integrative physiology. That was the name of the degree I got. So basically like human anatomy, physiology, human systems, very much a pre-med track.
Yeah. And then you said you're an online coach and health architect. What does that mean?
So the online coaching, that's pretty normal. The health architecting, that's kind of like the job title that I've given to myself in order to, you know, have structure for what I do now and then also for future plans. You know, working for yourself, you can kind of give yourself any sort of title and it really doesn't mean anything unless you give it value. But the idea is to help people like create better structures and systems to, you know, realize their health and also realize that they have a lot of autonomy over their own health. So yeah, that's kind of the idea of like the health architect.
So are you like a biohacker?
For myself, yes. And then also for like the people I help and my clients, also yes, but not in the biohacking sense, mm-hmm. like not doing these crazy things or seemingly crazy things, but like integrating just easy ways that prevent friction from, you know, attaining better health, like better sleep. Like an easy thing that I like to give to my clients is like make sure that they, you know, watch the sunset 3 or 5 nights out of the week to kind of help with their circadian rhythm. And that way, you know, maybe they get into a better nighttime routine and then they wake up with like a little bit more energy instead of waking up really tired every day.
I mean, maybe I should start doing that. My view is of another building. So that's the downside of living in New York City, I guess. But, yeah. You know, like I get a little bit, a tiny bit of sky. But that's some good insight. I know that like it's interesting that you have a degree in all of this. And so you're probably using a lot of that knowledge to back up your health advice.
Of course, trying to, and then also, you know, a lot of continuing education. And the point with, like, okay, even if you do have a view of another building, the idea with, like, watching the sunset is, like, okay, you got to get out of your house, maybe go on a little walk, literally 10 to 15 minutes, just get a little bit of that, you know, last bit of daylight. And it's never going to hurt, right? For most people, like, just going on a little walk or getting outside is not going to hurt them. In fact, it could, you know, be very much beneficial, not only in, like, the short term with getting outside, but, yeah, like I mentioned, with the downstream of just, you know, being able to get into a better routine and maybe sleep better.
Yeah, so obviously you're very health conscious. And a question I ask everybody on the podcast is, where do you like to eat and where do you like to go out?
Gotcha. Where do I like to eat? So I don't have, like, a place that I frequent in terms of, like, these restaurants other than really Cava. Cava is a big one. There's another place called Guy Chicken, which is different from the one in Chinatown. It's one on Meal Pal. They're kind of like a franchisee in New York City. I use Meal Pal a lot. And if we can put my referral code, or wait, I guess that would, that would, you know, track against my identity. Never mind. No referral code. I use Meal Pal a lot, though, just because it gives me the opportunity to, you know, try new places if I want to, or, you know, go to these same places and save a little bit of money.
Yeah, so, honestly, it's like, it's a good hack, I think, for people who are living in New York and are, like, budget conscious and don't necessarily want to cook for themselves all the time. I have friends who use Meal Pal. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe I can get a Meal Pal. and slide it in here. You said Guy Chicken, you said Cava. You actually turned me on to Cava. Like,
hell yeah.
I never thought about going to Cava ever before in my life, because, like, why would I go to a chain restaurant when I live in New York City? But I I, like, moved, like, two blocks away from a Cava, and you kept posting about it. So I was like, okay, tell, what is your Cava order? Or, like, what is your must get in a Cava bowl?
My Cava order, this is what I get. I get the regular rice, like the regular white rice, basmati rice. I'll do arugula. That's probably my favorite type of green, arugula or spinach. And then I just go regular chicken. All of their protein options are awesome. I just like the chicken. It's the cheapest. Gets me the most food. If I'm feeling, you know, bougie, I'll spend $3-4 extra bucks on the braised lamb. And it also depends on which Cava you go to, because sometimes they do skimp you on the braised lamb. And so if you're paying $16 for, like, not a ton of lamb, I can see, like, why that would be a turnoff. But at my Cava, they love me, so they give me enough lamb to suffice. But the, like, their honey chicken and their spicy harissa chicken, all great. The dips, I love the spicy red hummus. I love the spicy harissa. And then I think I do the crazy feta. And then this is the game changer, especially in New York, because you're not going to be able to get as much food as you get at Cava for the price. I've literally weighed the bowls that I've gotten, and sometimes they get as close to 3 pounds.
Oh my God.
3 pounds of food. Yeah. So the hack here is that you do all the toppings, double of every topping. So you ask, can I get all the toppings, 2 scoops of each? And I'd say 7 out of 10 times, they're, you know, it makes their job a lot easier, because they don't have to think and they don't have to wait for you to be like, can I get a, and then you're like, start stumbling on yourself. They're like, oh, cool. Like, he just wants everything. They do 2 scoops,
throw it
in there, load it on, 3 pounds of food. You turn that into, you know, 3 separate meals even, or, I mean, if you don't have an appetite, maybe like 5-6 meals, easy.
Wow. And that's all, they don't charge you more for that.
They don't charge you more for the toppings. No.
Wow. All
I mean, you could even do, like, you know, 3 of each, but I don't want to push my luck and
don't push your limits. They like you already.
Yeah, they like me. They don't want to, you know, be like, fuck, there's the guy who orders 3 of each topping. I'm going to be here all day just doing this.
Well, obviously, if somebody's listening and they have a similar Cava order, then you know the compatibility's off the charts.
We, might be compatible.
It might be Cava compatible. Maybe we need a Cava code also at this point.
Yeah.
Have you been trying to finesse that?
Not a code, but I did actually work with them at the end of the summer. So if you haven't seen enough of me and my Cava ramblings, you might see a lot more come this season.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so that was the first question. Like, where do you like to eat? where do you like to go out? And like, do you allow yourself to go out with your like strict health situation?
Yeah. So that's the other thing is like, I'm not someone who is like, so I think I'm punctual, but I'm not like overly strict with, you know, doing the things that add to my social health, right? I think you'll see like a lot of fitness trainers online being like, they don't drink, they don't go out, you know, they have to keep very strict, they only eat, you know, certain foods. But like the whole aspect of health is like not only to work on like your physical health, but there's mental health, there's emotional health, there's social health. So I still go out. And I'd say the places that I frequent or I enjoy going out to is definitely Georgia Room. You put me on that. That's been, you know, one of my favorite spots. I admittedly don't go enough outside of Drinks First events. I would love to go there more, like just on a regular night. I do like lounges, anything where it's like kind of loungy. You don't need to like purchase a table to be able to sit down. Love that. Where else do I go? I don't have those spots that I go to. I did go to Freehold Brooklyn. Love that spot in Williamsburg. I think I would like to go back there if I ever venture out back to Brooklyn. Other than that, just kind of go wherever people are going
or doing
people
things.
Yeah, I let other people, you know, drive the boat on that one. I just kind of sit back and be like, cool, yeah, let's go.
You show up.
Yeah. The one that I probably wouldn't go back to, though, is Wiggle Room. That one just felt like too much like a basement frat house party.
It was too young.
A little too young, and then just like so packed that you could not walk through. And the one time I went, saw these two people get in a fight over like the bubble gun that they have, like the little gun that blows bubbles. And it was just like, okay, I really don't need this. I'm not having fun here.
I've never actually been. I've never been to Wiggle Room, but I do know it's very popular. So I can imagine, especially amongst the TikTok crowd. So I can imagine it's probably like skews on the younger end. Yeah. But I mean, I think this episode will come out before November when this happens, but I'm doing another event at Georgia Room in November. So stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun. Always a lot of fun. Quick plug.
You know I'm going to try to be there if
you definitely
schedule
should.
Allows. Yeah.
Yeah, please. Of course. Anytime. Okay. So you're like, you like to go out. You're down to, do you drink?
I'll drink. Yeah. Here and there. Obviously. Mm-hmm. I think when I first moved to New York, it felt like freshman year of college again. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of fell off my health conscious track and I was drinking just way too much, way too often, going out, you know, on any day that ended with a Y. And I think I have been able to reel myself back and be like, okay, when I do go out, I enjoy myself 100%, but I'm very much more cognizant of like when I want to go out, who I want to go out with. Yeah. When I first moved here, I was just anything, anywhere, anyone, I'll be there. Whereas now, like, I'm a little more picky with, you know, where I spend my time. And it actually is really helpful because then like when I do go out, I enjoy myself, like whether or not, you know, I'm even drinking that night or, you know, drinking more than I should.
I feel like that comes with age. Like,
yeah,
just generally. Maybe, I mean, yeah. I'm like, yes, partially also the New York thing, but I think it is also an age thing. Like, I'm 26 going on 27, like very soon. And I right now am like in a sober era. Like, I'm not really drinking.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like there are so many people around me, like Drinks First, obviously, but it's not like a forever thing. But
yeah,
I'm experimenting with it. I see a lot of other people being really like invested in this kind of like sober, curious lifestyle. And I think I'm trying to figure out if it's like the wave right now or if it's our age. And I think it might be our age. It
could be like a mixture of both. I think like everyone coming out of, you know, 2020, 2021 was just like, okay, yeah, it's party season, party all the time.
Yeah,
we haven't been
like
able to do it in like a
summer,
year. Yeah, hot girl summer
City.
Was a thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, it might be like a mixture of both. Like people just slowing down. And then also, yeah, you made me realize we're getting older, we're getting more mature, we're getting wiser. So yeah, those are definitely all components as to, you know, why we make better decisions.
I mean, when I say sober curious, I think people generally the trend I've been noticing is people like kind of moving away from alcohol, but towards like microdosing shrooms or like something like that. That's so big right now. So it's interesting to see, I think, how that's impacted like a lot of people going out. And I think it's the same thing with me. I'm also way more picky about like where, when and where I choose to go out. Like when I was 24, 23, I was like, any day of the week, let's go. I'm down. Like, I'm drinking. We're having a good time. But now I'm like old and tired and my neck hurts. And so I think it's a little bit of both. And I think you start experiencing it like in your kind of the onset of your later 20s. Not that it's old. It's just like, I feel more an entering into a different kind of lifestyle for a lot of people. I see a lot of people transitioning. So it's interesting to hear it from like somebody who is like a health coach, how that might kind of impact your lifestyle in the city. But it's hard not to drink here. It's hard not to go out. There's just like a million things going on.
Yeah, a lot of things like working against you. So I think, you know, one thing that I realize is like any of the, you know, fitness coaches or trainers or anyone in the health space who lives in New York, they like, I think, have a much tougher time than like someone in LA. LA is like a utopia for health. Like you can go anywhere and everything is health focused. Whereas in New York, you can find that, but it's not as like, you know, in your face. Like there's no Erewhon on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think learning that, you become a much more relatable person for, you know, the people you're trying to help, because, you know, the people you're trying to help probably aren't spending 24 hours of their day just thinking about their health and how to improve it. They just want to know these easy things that are frictionless to get them to a better spot than they're at right now. So if you can do that in New York, you can probably relate with a much broader audience than someone living in LA where they have everything, you know,
at health-wise. Their disposal. Yeah, exactly. Definitely. Like people here are very quick to spend $20 on a cocktail, and I think people in LA are very quick to spend $20 on an Erewhon smoothie. So
exactly. So like, yeah, different environments, you're going to get different values.
Definitely. Definitely. So how is that like translated into dating for you? Since you're like, I don't want to call you a gym bro. Like, are you a gym bro? Like, do you have like gym selfies on your like dating apps? Like,
see, I'm not like a gym bro, and I find a lot of that stuff, me personally, like maybe I'm maturing, but I do find it kind of cringy at this point. Like I very much don't resonate with the macho gym culture. And I think, you know, hopefully a lot of people in my content see that, and like the people I talk to, hopefully they see that. But with regards to dating and just like kind of being like health conscious, health forward, health focused, I mean, there are definitely values that I like seek out with people that I'm dating. And, you know, they don't have like, for the women that I date, they don't have to necessarily like be at the gym or going to the gym or, you know, do any of the exercise or workouts that, you know, I do myself. But if they're somewhat health focused or health conscious, not necessarily like health forward where health is their only thing, I think there's still, you know, a balance that can be striked up there where it's like, okay, like, you enjoy Pilates, you enjoy yoga. That's cool with me. Like, that's good. Like, that's still within this realm.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting, like, conversation to have where I think a lot of men view, and I'm not saying this is true for you, but because it's your career, but like a lot of men view going to the gym, being healthy, being fit, like they view that as a priority when they are dating someone. They're like, I want somebody to share those interests with me. And I see it a lot, like on dating apps and things like that. Like, oh, I want somebody who's fit, or I want somebody who, like, there's kind of coded language around it. And I think personally for me, it's interesting because it's like when some people talk about, oh, I want somebody who cares about their health, I want somebody who's fit, and they like prioritize those things on a dating app, they like put that out there. I think some people's idea of health is maybe idealized in a different way. Like I'm somebody who like works out with a trainer. I like care about my health. I'm like exploring sobriety. Like, I don't know, X, Y, and Z. But when somebody looks at
things.
Me, yeah, all healthy things, like things I'm thinking about, things like, and yes, I'm not the healthiest person whatsoever, but like, I care about it and I'm like trying to care more about it. But I think when people say like, oh, I want someone fit or I want someone healthy, they imagine like a very specific kind of thing, like when they're looking for a partner, and that might be somebody who is physically very fit or skinny. Or I think sometimes physically, how are you supposed to judge somebody's health? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like skinny doesn't equal healthy. Health comes in all sorts of different shapes, sizes, forms. So when you say you're looking for somebody who is healthy or health conscious, like how do you discern that in someone from our current like dating channels.
Yeah. And you mentioned something earlier about like just shared values. And I think that's really important. So like things that I would be looking forward to, like, you know, what are your daily routines like? Like, are you going to bed, you know, at 3 a.m. every night because you're going out every night? Okay. Then that's like, you know, giving me the introduction into knowing that, you know, you're probably not prioritizing your sleep. So, I mean, going from there, like, okay, if you're not prioritizing sleep, then you're probably not going to the gym because you're not recovered. Things like that kind of went on a tangent there. But I think there are other action items that I look for where it's like, okay, yeah, do prioritize, like even just going on walks or getting outside or doing something where it's like this deliberate thing that you know is going to impact your health, not only in the short term, but in the long term.
Yeah. So you're looking more at like behavior.
Yeah. It'd be like behavior. Like, yeah, what are you doing on the weekends? Like, oh, it's completely fine if you're going out partying every now and then, but is it like, oh, is this a reoccurring motif where you're doing it every weekend? Then sometimes there you can discern like words or like the visual versus like what they actually do, which I think is important for, you know, anyone in the dating space. It's like, okay, how do your actions match up to your words or what you're telling me?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm just pushing back a little bit on this idea of like, I look for somebody who's health conscious, because it's so hard to look at somebody and be like, you're healthy. Because, right, you know, you see people who are like maybe one ideal of what somebody should look like, but they're not healthy at all, versus like looking at somebody else who might be like very active, very health conscious, maybe like an athlete even, you know? So
yeah,
it's an interesting conversation to have. And I see that kind of coded language in dating all the time where it's like, oh, I'm looking for somebody healthy or fit or something like that. And it always translates into like, I want to be with somebody who's like skinny or yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And I'm glad you're pushing back on that. And I'm glad we can have like this discussion on, you know, what that language means. So like me personally, when I say like, I'm looking for X, Y, and Z, I think there is a part of it where it is like, you know, the outward visual appearance. But then obviously that's why you go on dates, to see like, okay, like what is actually, you know, a part of your life. So like when I say I'm looking for someone like health conscious or health forward or thinking about their health or cognizant about their health, is like, okay, like when we have, you know, a discussion on like what your day-to-day looks like what comes out as the things that you actually, you know, do for your health. Like, again, walking, running, yoga, Pilates, those would be like the physical things. But then like nutritionally, like, are you eating out all the time, or do you try to like make an effort to even cook like once a week? You know, it doesn't have to be even like meal prepping for all 7 days, because damn, I don't even do that. But it's like, okay, like, are you making an effort there? You know, when it comes to finances, even financial health, like, are you putting that forward? That way you have ability and financial freedom to like keep doing the things that you enjoy doing when they are, you know, activity related, or like going traveling and going out. So I think, yeah, there's tons of things that go into that. But again, yeah, you're so right on that coded language. And I feel like it comes more from men, where it's like, oh yeah, I'm looking for someone healthy. Usually healthy just means like skinny. And that's it. It's like, oh yeah, like you do all these other things, but you're skinny. Oh yeah, you're healthy to me. And I think that does come from, you know, a male dominated view of things.
Yeah, I don't know if like, and I don't want to minimize at all physical attraction. Like, that's obviously important when it comes to dating. And I think that initial physical attraction is everything. That like could be what sparks somebody talking to someone, going out with someone. So it's not to say that that's not important and everybody is able to like have their own preferences. But I'm interested to hear if like maybe on your end, you see that as like a man dating women, that women like put that out there. Cause I feel like I see that all the time, that people are like, I want someone fit, I want someone healthy. And like, maybe it is just a narrative driven by men.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever like been cognizant of that. And if I can add into this, I never thought of myself as like attractive whatsoever until maybe I started getting on TikTok like around March or April 2020. Up until that point, okay, there was one point before that, 2018, there was something called subtle Asian dating.
Yes.
I know
about that.
If the viewers don't know about the backstory on that, basically this Facebook group where you could like, they would call it auction off your friend, which is kind of weird wording, but like basically you would like put your friend up, you'd take some photos of them, put them on this Facebook group and be like, this is my friend, he's 25, you know, this tall, lives here, kind of Wing.
Basically, it's like, we'll put up your friend, they'll put up their stats.
Wingman, yeah. Wingman, yeah. Wingwoman, right? Get them over there, and then people are like, oh, wow, he's so, like, handsome, or, like, she's so cute, or, like, I really like them. So that was probably the first time I felt, like, the attractive. Spark. But, yeah, before that, like, I've never really seen myself as attractive, so I think that was just in the point of, you know, women putting things onto me. Like, I'd never felt that, maybe because I was never in that situation to begin with.
Yeah, I want to hear more about that. Do you feel, was that like around college? Was it before college? Like, I'm sure growing up in a place where there weren't that many Asian people around impacted that.
Yeah, it was like pretty well after college, or maybe like my last year of college, where I like felt like, oh, like people do look at me a little differently, and in a good way. Like, oh, I do have traits that, you know, might be attractive to other people. And so that was kind of the point, just like 5 years ago. Whereas I feel like I had friends growing up and they always got like all the girls in middle school. And I'm like, damn, like, how are you texting 5 girls right now? Like, that's wild. But just a very middle school thing to kind of.
Were they East Asian or no?
No, they were white.
Yeah. I think so many, I definitely think a lot of like Asian people go through this, especially when you grow up in a predominantly white kind of like environment. Like, I also like went to like a predominantly white school. I grew up in the city, so obviously a very diverse place, but even in the generation that we were growing up, so different than like, yes, we're kind of cuspy Gen Z, but like the younger generations put so much more value on diversity. It was like so Eurocentric growing up that like standards of beauty were not necessarily, mm-hmm. you know, what you and I would be offering. Like I felt like it was, even in college, definitely people. And I went to a school, and you also went to a school that had a lot of Asian people. Mm-hmm. And so I can imagine that, yes, there was some like still, yes, some level of attraction, but I always felt like white people were precedented in mm-hmm. those situations. And maybe that shift has started happening a little bit more. It's definitely interesting to hear from a guy's perspective that you still felt that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, you'll look at, like, Simu Liu, who's, like, this, you know, he is kind of the North Star now, which is awesome to have, because growing up, didn't really have someone like that mm-hmm. to be like, oh, like, this is a handsome man, objectively, and he's also doing awesome things. Like, he, you know, went from working essentially in, like, accounting and finance into transitioning into like this movie star role for Marvel and Disney. And I think growing up, really the main guys that would look like me would be like Jackie Chan or William Hung from American Idol. Yeah. And those are two very different, like, one is a movie star, one is like your, what would be like a prototypical like Asian look, which is like mm-hmm. nerdy glasses. And, you know, people liked him because it was kind of funny to like him, not mm-hmm. they liked him because he was like talented or objectively attractive to a lot of people.
Yeah. You felt like that started changing like when you got on TikTok. So kind of post college.
Yeah. Or it really started changing. So I need to add something. I got into modeling 2018 post college mm-hmm. after I watched the movie Crazy Rich Asians. So I feel like that was like a big spark that led to a lot of stuff. Yeah. So I watched that movie like a few weeks later, applied to this one agency that I had always liked because they did a lot of stuff in like the sports world, like Adidas, Under Armour, Reebok, Nike. I was like, cool, I'll apply. Maybe this is like a good springboard. And it was. And so been with them for like the past 5 years.
Whoa. And I'm guessing that was super validating.
Yeah, super validating. Just be like, wow, like, okay, there is like a shift here. And it kind of, yeah, helped me realize that shift.
So do you think you're hot now?
I have enough confidence to know that I am attractive, but mm-hmm. I also am humble enough to not go around acting like I am, you know, the hottest shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a balance of both.
Did you have experiences growing up that helped validate? Like, did you date anyone? Were you ever in a serious relationship? Have you ever been in a serious relationship?
You're talking about like in high school, middle school?
High school, middle school, college. Like, gotcha. What's your relationship history looking like?
First one would be in college. Went mm-hmm. through like two semi-long term. I mean, comparatively, like they're like 6 to 9 months, both of them in college, which is either a long time for people in college or like a very short time for people in college. It seemed like the people in college that I knew would either do like a 2 month situationship or be with someone for like 3 to 4 years from like someone back home. So yeah, first relationship was in college and just two of them.
And what was that like for you?
I don't know how to answer that. What do you mean? Like, what
were you,
was it
were
like?
You in love? Have you ever been in love?
I think I've been in love. I have been in love. Those were not the times I were, mm-hmm. was in love. Yeah.
So tell me about the first time you were in love.
First, well, I also think the definition of love changes. So when I thought mm-hmm. I was in love, I think if I look back at it now, which also, you know, either rose-tinted glasses or whatever the opposite of that would be, like blinders, I would say looking back at it now, probably not my definition of love, but back then, yeah, it was. I don't think you can explain love, really. It's something that each person feels a little differently.
Was that like in a serious relationship? Have you been in like anything longer term than a few months?
Yeah, this and it was my most recent like long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. It was like 18 months, a year mm-hmm. and a half.
How long has it been? Was that your last relationship? So how long
has
it been?
Yeah, that was the last relationship before I moved to New York. So
okay, so you've been single for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Why did it end?
There's a lot of moving parts and just mm-hmm. differences. And also, it was mainly a long-distance relationship. Or mm-hmm. not mainly, it was a long-distance relationship. I think in my head, it might have been a COVID relationship where it's like, okay, this is like the last person that I talked to and met up with and went on dates with in person. And so it's just comforting to know that there is someone that you can talk to every day while in lockdown and like not having the ability to like see even, you know, family members or friends. So I think those two things were the biggest reasons mm-hmm. why we didn't end up being that great for each other, because we really didn't know each other. It was a lot of FaceTimes, it was a lot of texting. Mm-hmm.
How did you meet?
We met on Tinder.
Oh, okay. And it was like long distance during COVID.
Long distance during COVID. Yeah. Before that, like met on Tinder and, you know, went on like maybe 3 or 4 dates, and then COVID.
So then COVID happened.
Everything, yeah.
Everything shifted. Yeah. I mean, it was so many weird years of like relationships where people just wanted to feel companionship. And then coming out of COVID, it was either like, okay, you're like really committing to this relationship and this person, or you're breaking up.
Yeah. And I haven't been able to talk to too many people who've had that experience, but I'm sure it's, you know, somewhat of a shared experience, whether people realize it or not.
You hit on the head, just like
that companionship.
Yeah. I've definitely talked to people who've had similar, those like COVID relationships where, you know, you were you back in Kansas or were you in California?
I was in California.
Okay. And were you with your family?
I was with my family mainly, yeah.
Yeah. It's just so tough. Like when you're with your family, it's like you're not alone, but you're kind of in this like regressive state. And we, both of us had probably just come out of college. So you had had this whole like college experience of being independent and like having your own life. And then all of a sudden you're like pulled back into.
Back in high school again.
Back in high school again.
Like, where are you going? Oh, you know, I'm just going down the street or like I'm driving here. Like, damn, I have to like tell you where I'm going.
I know.
But yeah, thanks for the free rent, Dad. That was nice.
Facts. Such a weird microcosm of time, but obviously you moved to New York. What prompted you to move to New York?
So the girl I was seeing, my ex-girlfriend girlfriend mm-hmm. at the time, she actually moved to New York. So I was like, oh, cool. Like, I'll move to New York too. Mm-hmm. That was like part of it. The other part, which is like, is because she moved here, I applied to a public health program in New York also. So mm-hmm. I was going to do that. So if you met me like 2 years ago, I would say I moved to New York to do continuing education and to get my master's in public health. But now I'll tell you just straight up, like, I was going to move here for her. And there were just like other things that were side quests essentially to also get me here. And yeah, it was also like, yeah, I mean, didn't enjoy LA as much, and I was like, cool, like if you're moving, like if she had moved anywhere else, I don't think I would have moved there. But because it was New York, I was like, damn, yeah, I kind of want to move there now. And now you just gave me a reason to.
I didn't know you. Did you get your master's? Did you finish
the program? No, I ended up just withdrawing way before it even started.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you end the relationship before you got to New York, or were you guys still together when you came here?
Yeah, the relationship ended before I moved here.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
So you made all these decisions.
Yeah.
And your life just changed the minute you... What prompted all of that change? Was it your content creation? Was it... like modeling, what was it?
It's New York, baby. You gotta come out. I mean, I'm also very much a person who, they're not rash decisions. Like, these are very big decisions. Like, I mean, the first like big decision that I can think of recently would be like moving from Kansas to LA, like wanting to go to school in California. But like, mm-hmm. when I have those feelings of like, this is something I should do, like, there's not a lot that's gonna keep me from doing it. So, for New York, it was just kind of like, it's New York. I'm 25, 26. Like, it doesn't matter like where I'm at in life. I think I need to be in New York right now. And it just so happened I did have like good backup plans in case, you know, like not going to school worked out. So like, I had online coaching, I had modeling. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just something where I was like, you know, I'll either sink or swim. If I swim, amazing. If I sink, then we'll just cross that bridge if
back
I ever
to the
have
drawing
to.
Board. Yeah. Yeah. What has it been like now dating in New York, being, you know, out of a relationship, you are in this new place, you maybe have a little bit of newfound confidence because you're like modeling and you have followers online.
No, don't say that. Not like that. But I would say, again, when I first got here, like end of 2021, it was very much freshman year of college again. So mm-hmm. not only going out a lot, but going on dates a lot, going like on too many dates. Like, damn, like it'd be like a Thursday night, then a Friday night, then a Saturday night. And I'm like, it got to a point where I was like, what am I doing? Like, where am I spending my time? Where am I exerting my energy? Like, what actually requires my effort right now that I should be putting more effort into? I'd say like 2022, maybe kind of the same thing until like the summer. For some reason, like during the summer, I just like don't want to date at all. Like if something happens, that's great, but like not actively pursuing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say for the majority of 2023, it hasn't been a lot of active dating.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think that I'm very much in my peacefully single era, which is different from being painfully single. Like there are people who are single, but you can tell it's painfully single because like they're trying to go on all these dates and they're going out, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, like I had mentioned. And you can kind of get a sense there where it's like they're fishing for something that's not really there, but mm-hmm. they're just waiting until something does catch on, but it never catches on. Whereas I feel like I'm in my peacefully single era because I know what I want as a person who is dating. I know what I would want in a partner. I think here and there, like going on a date is fun and it can be really exciting and exhilarating, but it's not like I'm not going on dates to be like, okay, this is going to be my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I think it helps because I've never been like a serial relationship person. There are people who are like relationship after the next, and then you kind of get a sense like, okay, like are you doing this selfishly for you because you don't like being alone, or are you doing it because like you really just keep finding these awesome people? More than not, it's usually the first and not the latter.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, okay, like I'll go on a date if it's fun, and if something happens, it happens, but I'm not gonna be like, okay, like I need to find marriage right now.
Yeah, I love that. Peacefully single versus painfully single. That's such like a good characterization of it. And that kind of idea of being peacefully single where it's like, here's the interesting dichotomy with dating is I do think it requires some effort, especially like in a city like New York where there's a million people to meet and like there's so many opportunities to do things. And, you know, I think if you do just stick to your daily routine, there's a much smaller chance of you meeting somebody new that's going to change your life. You know, if you do the same thing every single day, you can pretty much expect the same thing like every single day. Very rarely are there anomalies that like will come in and change that. So I think that way with dating, like there is some level of effort that needs to be put in, whether it's like your mindset shifts and you're like, okay, maybe I'm ready to like go on a date, a first date. I'm down to be set up with someone. I'm down to maybe like download an app and see where it goes. Like I do think it takes some effort, but that idea of being peacefully single where it's like, I don't need another person right now. I'm like happy with myself. I'm happy with my life. I'm like focusing on the things that I need to do. I think that's such an important state to reach before you like look for a relationship. It's right. So good to like be in that era of your life because then you are more ready to welcome someone in.
Yeah. I think a caveat I should add is like, I am protecting my peace, but it doesn't mean like I'm withholding my peace. Like I am mm-hmm. still like going to Drinks First events and going to these other events to like to meet people because they are things that I find enjoyment in. But it's not like I'm not thinking right now that like if I just keep doing the things that I do all the time that someone's just gonna like yeah jump into my lane and oh boom like perfect. Yeah. It is. I do understand the effort there where it's like okay, I want this lane, but like if I want to like intersect into a different lane, then I will have to, you know, join a club or go out to an event or like go meet these new people. Like I understand that it's not just going to be like, oh, like my Princess Charming just pops out of nowhere.
No,
of course not.
Well, you said like you know at this point kind of what you're looking for in a person and what you want. So do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, and I think I need to first start with saying that that does change. Like I got into a big running era in June, like starting in June after we did the Montauk to Manhattan race. Damn, I'm just outing myself now.
We
it's
can
okay.
Cut that.
Yeah, whoever wants, no, I think they already got the gist of who this is.
If you it's care whatever. Enough, you can find him, yeah. But like go through Drinks First channel to meet him, you know?
Yeah, yeah. At that point, I was like, oh, like the next person I date has to be a runner because like mm-hmm. this is taking up so much of my time. Mm. Now that I've kind of like gotten over the honeymoon phase of running so much, I'm like, okay, like if they're into running, that's awesome. That's always an added bonus. If they're at least somewhere in the health field, like that's probably what I'll be able to do. I don't have something with me is like, I don't have a ton of hard yeses, but I do have a lot of hard nos where it's like, okay. Like we're probably not going to be compatible. I can see that from the outset. Like if you're not into like any sort of health and fitness related activities, like, and you don't even like walk or you don't bike, you know, that's going to be no. If city biking if you can't city bike, like that's probably also a no because like I love the city bike and it just tells me, you know, where I understand the safety level, but there's other things involved.
Like
with that.
What if you could teach someone, you
yeah,
know?
If I could teach, it's more of the like, oh, I will never bike in the city. Like,
yeah,
oh,
like being
okay.
open
like,
to it.
You're not even open to like trying to go on a little city bike date. So we can't even go down the West Side Highway and enjoy ourselves. So mm-hmm. that's going to be a hard no for me. So things like that, I have those hard no's. I think there are other people who are dating who have like very strict and hard yeses, which I don't know. That's never kind of like been my thing. I think in terms of some hard yeses, it would be like just shared values, shared background, shared like cultural identities. I think those are important. Like, you know, knowing more than one language, like knowing more than English, I think is important to me. Your parents don't have to be divorced, but if they are divorced, like you understand where like I'm coming from and my divorced parents. And if you happen to be, you know, the children of immigrants, then that is awesome too, because you understand, you know, the cultural identity that, you know, we're going to share. So I think those are some things.
Things that you like value for sure. You
value
know, it's,
for it, sure, yeah.
It's interesting because like, I think we all have these lists of things that fit in our head of like something an ideal partner would have. And then there are different ways those things can manifest. Like, I think for the longest time in my head, I was like, oh, I want a partner who I can like leave alone at my events and not worry about them. Like that was something that I would have really liked. And mm-hmm. in my last relationship, I did have that. Like, I had that in a partner where I was like, okay, I can like go do my own thing. He'll still show up. He'll be there for me. But like the way he manifested that was different than what I was imagining in my head, which was mm-hmm. like, oh, somebody who's like really outgoing and can like have fun on their own and like talk to a lot of people and like keep themselves entertained. He was more somebody who was like, I like being out. I like enjoying music, but like, I don't need to talk to that many people. Like I can just vibe by myself and like be totally fine. And so mm-hmm. it was interesting for me to think in my mind that I had, you know, an idea of something that would be a hard yes for me. Like, oh, this is a really great trait, but it manifested itself in a different way. And I think
interesting
people can surprise you in the ways that they show up. Also hearing oh, if they speak more than one language, what that is really saying is somebody who has like a third culture, somebody who can appreciate, like, I mean, I have like a very bad track record of dating white guys. And so like, I understand why dating someone with like some sort of shared cultural value or background would make dating easier. But I also think that there's a lot of joy in sharing culture and learning about someone else's culture. So, you know, I think these lists that we think we want are good baseline things to have, but know that they can like manifest themselves in different ways and they can show up in different ways that you can still appreciate. So,
yeah, 100%.
I will say I don't know how to bike.
That's okay. Are you asking me to teach you to bike? Like, oh, wait, you actually don't know how to like ride a bike?
No. Period. I actually don't know how to ride a bike, period.
Whoa, interesting. That's like the least New York thing I've heard.
Really?
Like every New Yorker needs to know how to walk at the right speed, the New York speed.
That I know how to do.
And then also like bike, because I think that's like, you know.
I think my life would be exponentially better if I could city bike. Wow. Like, I just know it would be. I just don't know how to bike.
Do you think there are other people in New York who also, because like that's also the other New York trope is like, you know, not having driver's license because you don't need to learn how to drive.
I don't have a driver's license.
You don't have a driver's license. Do you think there are other people in New York who just never learned how to bike?
You know, I think it's definitely a much smaller number compared to the people who didn't learn how to drive.
Gotcha.
I learned how to bike. But it was like one summer when my parents like went out to the Hamptons. I used to love biking in Central Park with my, like as a kid with my parents, with my training wheels. I just never like really had the chance to graduate. So it is on it's on my to-do list of things. I'm trying to figure out if biking is number one or learning how to drive is number one. But like,
gotcha.
I have limited mobility when it comes, like mostly walking for me. But
one of them has a much like lower barrier to entry, and that would be biking. True. And I think we might have found a good Drinks First event for like next spring. Like, hey, are you single or do you have a friend that's single? Do you also not know how to bike and want to learn, but, you know, a little embarrassed or like don't have a space to do it? Perfect. We've got the event for you. Drinks First City Bike.
Yeah. A friend of mine who, you know, also she's a food influencer. Mm-hmm. She also
doesn't know how to bike.
She didn't.
Oh, my God.
She didn't know how to bike, but she got a PR package from Arizona Iced Tea and they sent her a bike.
Oh my God.
She made like all of this content around the bike to learn how to bike. Yeah.
That's awesome. So
look, if any company like hears this and they want to send me a bike and for me to learn how to bike.
Let's do it. Not just one bike. Like, let's get 50 and make an event.
Let's get multiple bikes. You can teach me how to bike. We can make some collab content.
There we go. Yeah. See, I'm always trying to think of content for you and Drinks First. I think it comes easily naturally. Yeah.
Gotta bring you on the team.
I can see it.
But okay, so you are looking for someone who's like maybe has third culture, who has like similar values, is interested in the health and wellness space. Do you think you have any like physical attributes that you, or like, do you have a physical type that you've gravitated towards in the past or not really?
No, I would say like all my relationships have been a little different. Like there have been women that I've dated who like aren't really into health and fitness or wellness or like doing anything active. And I think that's where I realized like, okay, like this is such a big and integral part of my life that it's, it would be something that, you know, I do look for in a partner. I mean, the physical attraction, I don't know if they're like common traits. One thing that I've been saying to myself is like, no short girls anymore. So like, I kind of want them to be like 5'7", 5'8", but.
Oh my God, tall.
That's just like, yeah, I like tall, but. Then again, it's just like, just kind of a fun thing to throw out there. I don't think it's not an actual, you know, red flag if you're 5'6" or 5'3", 5'2", I guess.
Justice for short girls. I'm 5'3". I'm standing up for them. Look,
short girls, you got your short kings.
Yeah.
There we go. Match made in heaven.
Give them a chance. Give them a chance. At least be open-minded. They might love the city bike and speak another language. And yeah, they just might be
like, obviously, like, I'm not looking for every checklist on the box. Like, if they don't hit this 5'8 quota, like, I'm not going
to
be like, ah,
not
fuck.
Not tall
like,
enough to ride yeah. the coaster. Like.
Not tall enough for this ride. But yeah, it's just like, just a fun thing to throw
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, you want like D1 babies is what I'm hearing.
Kind of. That'd be cool. That yeah. would be cool. I think my genes are like strong enough that, you know, even if it's like, even if my partner is 5'1", I think still have tall babies.
It could still work out.
Still works out. Yeah.
My mom is under 5 feet.
Really?
Yeah. And my dad's like 5'8", 5'9". My brother is like pushing 6 feet. So
yeah, see the nutrients too, the environment, the nutrients, I think also affects it. So yeah. And the sleep. So those are all important things.
He got all the height in the womb. I don't know where it went. I'm definitely more aligned with
your brother older or younger?
He's older. He's around at some stuff sometimes, but he's like living his married.
I've never seen him.
Yeah. You might have at some point, but he is like living his mostly like married life in Brooklyn and is like settled down and different.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
So
different
he is
state.
Married.
He's court married. They're getting gotcha. Like actual, like their wedding is next year, but they're
very
like
cool.
court married as of like a few married. Weeks ago. So.
Wow. Congrats to the bride and groom.
I know. They're very sweet. I'm sure you'll meet them at some point, but we are like, we got some idea of like what you're looking for, what you're excited about, things that you value. Is there anything else you'd want people to know about you? Anything else you want to add?
I'm off the dating apps. I think we didn't really bring up dating apps other than where my relationships were. But like I've tried Hinge, I've tried Raya. And yeah, I just don't think they're for me. Though I keep like when I get bored, I'll download Hinge again. And I think that's just like my worst trait right now. But
if that's
really
your worst
is...
trait, it's fine. I give into that like I give into that
okay,
like
good.
Every because
like I delete it and then I'm like, oh, I just want to see. But like there's it never gets any better. And like, yeah, no dating apps. If you see me on a dating app, then my profile's deleted. If you want to hit me up, then find my Instagram and
find him through Drinks First. If you want to hit him up, find him through
or Drinks
come
First.
Through
Drinks
yeah. First.
Exactly.
I feel like I think that kind of goes hand in hand in like being peacefully single because mm-hmm. dating apps, they're so time consuming. Mm-hmm. They're so like surface level in terms of how you get to know someone that it's like one, it's a lot of effort to put in to like very minimal rewards sometimes. And not to say that they don't work. They definitely do.
Oh, yeah.
For
they definitely
some people.
Work.
But I think more and more people, and this is why Drinks First does what it does, like they want to meet in real life. They want to see those connections. It's attraction like cannot only be quantified like through a dating profile. So I set a 20-minute limit on all of my dating apps. So like I can only be
smart.
On all of them like collectively for 20 minutes on throughout the day. But I also just like I feel like I don't care. I'm not. Active.
I don't care, yeah.
But you know, every once in a while you gotta like get on Hinge and then I feel like Hinge bullies me. I'm like, am I this ugly? Like based on
I think we all get it. They're something with their algorithm and they want you to pay. Like
they want you
to
pay
to point.
So
yeah.
bad.
And
they're so aggressive about it.
Yeah. Also, something random, but mm-hmm. I have never seen an ad for the league and
now they're everywhere.
It. On Subway. So that either tells me that they're doing really well and like can up their marketing and PR budget or that they need people to get onto the app and start
no they
paying.
Definitely need so the league was actually started by somebody who went to my college but was like
oh, really?
Way, many many years older than me. I didn't know her
yeah.
but
that's
she
like
started
the elite,
the
right it's like the elite dating
it's
app.
Supposed to be like it was and it was I think it must have come out around the same time as Raya like it was supposed to be for people who are like in the Ivy League, like kind of
right.
more
that's where it's
career from. Driven, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been on the league since it's come out. It's horrendous. It's terrible. They
really?
Definitely don't have like great people on it. The UI feels super dated.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing all of and the ads are so aggressive. They're like, you want someone who like makes your ovaries pop. Like,
oh my God.
They're
that
so crazy.
Sounds like someone who's probably not very close to Gen Z, if I'm being honest.
I think they just probably got an influx of cash. But like, look, here we are talking about them. So there's
They're
it's
doing
something.
Something.
Yeah. It's doing something. I don't. You don't need to waste your time though.
Cool.
Probably.
Or money. Have app fatigue, and I know this is also superficial, so this kind of goes against what I'm saying with like what we've said against, you know, Hinge and Tinder and Raya, where it's like very, you know, very quick type of attraction. You're not actually getting to know some, but I kind of like speed dating. I've never speed dated before, but if I were gonna do an event, I think that is like something that I would love to try.
That's really surprising to me, because I feel like most guys would shy away from speed dating.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's kind of, from what I've learned doing Drinks First, is I try not to market so heavily that like, this is a singles event, you have to be single to be here. Like, I think all sorts of relationships are formed like at Drinks First events, so I'm not super prescriptive about it. I like that it's synonymous with dating, but it's not only for that. And I think that has worked in my advantage compared to some other similar things that are similar, like companies that do something somewhat similar to what I do, because when it's so focused on dating, I think it pulls in a lot of women, but then men get very like,
and that's perfect. Like, damn, we got to get more men to speed date. I mean, like for the heteros, right? If you're heterosexual, like, and you're listening to this, like, the women are out there speed dating. Like, they are ready.
The women are at Drinks First events ready to meet guys. Like,
yeah, that's true too.
It's not speed dating necessarily, but it is. There is such a large, like, I think it's very specific to New York that women are so active and like wanting to go to these kind of dating events, but men are less inclined because it's a bit like, oh, that's like maybe cringy, or that's like, I don't know, I want to go with my boys, or that's like too much. It's too intentional, too much commitment, too much pressure. So I mean, I've considered speed dating. I think there would be a lot of interest from women. I don't know how much interest there would be from men, but maybe you can prove me wrong. There is a company that have you heard of Amber Club?
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah.
Okay, Amber. Have you gone?
No, I think one thing that throws me off is like the price, like the all-inclusive price. So like as a non-member, it'd be like $150, and I was like, damn, like
it's a lot of money.
That's a whole ass date. But and I guess, yeah, you're going on like 10 dates essentially. Like, you do get drinks, maybe some food, like hopefully enough meals to suffice. But yeah, that was like the one thing. Whereas like if it was like $50 and, you know, you're just getting drinks, I'd be like, oh cool, like I'll do that in a heartbeat. Which it is for members if you join the membership. So
I think that's, I don't know so much about their, like, I connected with their founders like when they first started. I know that some things have pivoted, and you know what they're building is, it's interesting, it's different from what I'm doing. I think we're going different routes, but I guess if you're like really big on speed dating, that would be something to look into. It's definitely an accessible price point to most people though.
Yeah.
And they do that on purpose.
Yeah, they bring in a certain crowd. And yeah, I had a friend who went who said it is like an older crowd. I'd say Drinks First is like anywhere from like 22 to, I mean, even like 28, 29.
Yeah, I say like 21 to 31 is like.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of.
Whereas
age range.
Amber seems like their minimum age is like 25, 26 and up, like 35, 40. So yeah, it'd be a little different of a crowd, which would be interesting to see.
The founder like literally just reached out to me again yesterday, so
yeah,
maybe I'll
meet her.
That's
good. That means you guys aren't clashing. Like, you guys have your very own different niches. We're like, yeah,
I don't feel that way about like anybody who's doing something similar. There's more than enough like people and space,
who want to date. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel like in competition with anyone else who's doing anything similar, but like, you know, we all offer different things and that's cool. And maybe if it's not that different, you know, people can make their choices about if they want to go to one or the other or all, like, whatever. Like,
that's good. Cause I have insights from every single other company and they all have a hit marker on Ariana Nathani. And they're like, we got to take down Drinks First. They are doing too much, taking in too many people. They're selling out and then adding tickets last minute and then selling out again. Like, we can't have this.
I know. I got to start protecting my piece. I'm like, you know, I've been so grateful for how like positive people have been reacting to Drinks First. So
yeah,
it helps that like, you know,
that's
come.
So awesome.
Thank you. Like, people like, come and they come again, which I love.
The fact that you sold out Discolo last night, like a Wednesday night, like fall where the, you know, weather isn't the greatest this past week. You sold that out on a school night.
It sold out in like less than 2 hours. When I initially launched the tickets, it like sold out in less than 2 hours. And then I like had to, it's such a small venue. I had to like be like, can I add like a few more tickets? And they were like, sure, last minute. That's awesome. it's been great, but you know, everybody should come to more events. They're not just these like small curated ones, but I think that is also, it's important to have those. I feel like you make better connections when it's like a more intimate curated crowd as opposed to like those large parties at Georgia Room or something. But I love doing both. Yeah. So
yeah, both is fun.
There will continue to be both.
Have you ever thought of like, so one thing that I see, not only for myself, but like, you know, when you do have even a small intimate group setting, is like you start to get into like your in groups, right? So like if you start talking to these people, like you'll probably just keep talking to them, and it's hard to, I think one thing that you've done really well with like the dinners especially is like the fact that you do move around, you know, from table to table, like with the when and where stuff, and like you do get to interact with other people. Is there a possibility to do that in like a large group setting where it's like 100 people, but then somehow like you have to interact with this person for like, you know, X amount of time before moving on or something like that? I guess kind of the idea of speed dating where it's like you have to, you know, try to form a conversation.
You just want
to
go speed dating.
I think I just want to do speed dating. But like there's got to be an adjacent to that.
You know, honestly, I have an event coming up in like 2-ish weeks and I'm launching it tonight. And I was trying to figure out like a good way to add that element of interaction for that kind of larger 100 to 150 group of people. I don't know if I've like fully figured it out yet because I don't want it to feel like a weird, awkward icebreaker. Like I don't want people to be like, this is lame. Like I just want to show up to a party and like talk to people. So I think it's like finding that balance. So if anybody's listening and they have ideas to boost people being able to talk to one another or something, like, I don't know. Is it lame to like give people name tags? Is it lame to like...
I like name tags. I forget a lot of names. And there's, you know, some nights you meet so many people, you're like, damn, I don't know your name. I'm just going to say, hey, and nothing else. And just hope, you know, we both don't even know each other's name.
There are parties that I've done like stickers. Maybe you've been to one of them. They're like... green if you're single, red if it's you're not, and yellow if it's like complicated. Like they're kind of like
fun though.
They are fun because people have fun with the stickers. They'll like put them on one another. It's like a good icebreaker. Last night at Discolo, we gave out roses, so like that was a good way for people to kind of like talk to people and like interact. I mean, obviously you've been to the dinners where we do like really more intentional kind of like connection. Yeah. Activities at the beginning, there's like bingo and then, you know, whatever. I'm thinking for those like larger scale events though, maybe it's something we could do. Like I've seen like red flag parties, you know, where people write their like red flag on like a name tag or a shirt or something, and like you can go and talk to someone about it.
Yeah, that works really well too. I think I like that idea because I'm someone who like if I don't have a reason to talk to someone, it makes it really hard. Like it makes it hard to like create intentional conversation. But if it is like, oh, like seeing someone's red flag being like, oh wow, like that's an awful red flag, or like that's a great red flag, like now that, yeah, it's an icebreaker. The ice has been broken.
Okay, so maybe that's something to consider for this event, next event that I do.
I like that one.
If you have other ideas, text me, or, you know, anybody listening, DM me, and I'd be happy to take any feedback. But as we're getting to the end of this episode, we end every episode with a segment called Shots. Mm-hmm. So these are rapid fire this or that questions.
Oh, cool.
Are you ready to do some shots?
Ready for some shots.
Okay. Early bird or night owl?
Personally, my chronotype is night owl, but I try my best to be an early bird.
Work hard or play hard?
Both.
Dine out or delivery?
Delivery.
Laundry or dishes?
Dishes.
TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram.
Money or fame?
Money.
Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
What?
Pepsi literally wins every single blind taste test. Like, I will give you Coke, I will give you Pepsi. You could probably decipher, but if you chose which one tastes better, Pepsi wins. And Pepsi
does
taste better.
That's a crazy answer.
I'm probably the first one to say Pepsi, too.
That's your red flag. That is your red flag.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Whatever.
Spicy or mild?
Mild.
Coffee date or drinks date?
Coffee date.
Favorite season?
Wait, sorry. I know it is shots. I just went on like my first coffee date and it was so nice because like now we can actually go to dinner. Okay, but yeah, coffee date.
Okay. I mean, like I said, I'm in my sober era, so I'm like way more open to the idea of like a coffee date. Okay, favorite season?
Like the in between summer and fall where it's still warm enough to wear shorts and a t-shirt.
So like kind of right now, but like not when it's torrentially raining.
Not when like it has to be like 78 to 81.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song right now?
Favorite song right now is Fall Back by James Blake off his new album.
What is your drink of choice?
Drink of choice, probably a mezcal mule.
And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
Boat, I would name it Utopia 4. That's from the one of Chelsea Trump. Pierce. No, it's the Chelsea Pierce has this huge boat there and it's called Utopia 4. And I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be a cool name for a boat, I guess.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on. I had so much fun chatting. If you are interested in meeting and matching our wonderful guest, you can do that by going to our Instagram and filling out an interest form. You can match romantically or platonically. So anybody out there who's interested in making friends, reach out. If you don't have an Instagram, it should also be in the description of this podcast. Thank you so much for being on. You can find us at drinks.first on Instagram. I'm your host, Ariana Nathani at ariana.nathani on Instagram and TikTok. Till next time.
Thank you, guys.